This is The Takedown from Jackrabbit Illustrated. The Takedown podcast is presented by Drake's Place in Bowdell, South Dakota, and sponsored by Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans in Sioux Falls. Now here's your host of The Takedown, Chad.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Takedown podcast. Today I have my guest host, Jordan Schoenrock, and we're also joined by Coach Damian Hahn, South Dakota State Jackrabbit Wrestling head coach. Coach Hahn, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Great to have you. Jordan, how are you doing today?
I'm also doing pretty good.
All right. Maybe a little rusty at this, but that's all right. Hey, Coach, got a lot of things been happening in the past, it's been less than 12 months, haven't it?
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about, let's talk about the staff first, maybe. We brought on a new staff member in Brady Berge. I interviewed him a little bit here earlier. Knocked some rust off my podcast there. Tell us a little bit about Coach Berge.
So, Coach Dardanes, he moved on from our program in the springtime. He got a great opportunity to teach and coach down in Iowa and, run his own program. And he's doing great things down there. It was an opportunity for him to kind of be the guy and, put his stamp on something. And, when he came to us and talked about it, I said, Chris, that's awesome. It really is. And he was really interested in it and decided to do it. So we wish him the absolute best. And we're watching, the success that Perry's going to have. So we were in the market. We were in the market to pull in a new assistant coach. And, it's funny because, we scoured the country trying to find the right fit for our program. And, we had a handful of guys that, we interviewed and we were going to make a decision. And I remember talking to my roommate from college, Jared Lawrence, who has Pinnacle back in Minnesota. And Brady's name came up. And he goes, Brady's going to be coming home and we're going to try and, potentially start a Pinnacle down in Rochester, Minnesota. And, Brady kind of taking that over. And he goes, if that doesn't happen, he's like, if I were you, I'd reach out to Brady. And so, I got a phone call from Jared and he said, hey, listen, Brady's not ready to do that at this time. He goes, you should give him a call. And so got on the phone with Brady and, talked to him. Obviously, in Minnesota, I mean, coming out of high school, he was a bad dude. I mean, one of the top recruits in the country, ends up going to Penn State and, didn't have the career that I know he would have wanted, injuries prevented a lot of that, but, he was coming back to the Midwest, coming back to Minnesota. And, when we gave him a call and kind of just started talking and seeing what his plans were, what was in the future for him. And, honestly, I mean, I think we just clicked right from the start. My staff loved him. I've gotten to know him even more and you talk about just a good person, a person who's knowledgeable of the sport, someone who has a name, throughout the country. And, we brought him to campus and he's a small town kind of kid, from Manorville, and he loved the atmosphere. He loved the size of the university. He got along with our staff, and I don't want to say it was an easy sell, but we were able to get him out, and kind of fell in love with it. And so from there, we got him here, and got him into the fold, and we've kind of been meshing some things, with the knowledge that we bring to the table, and also, himself and his career, wrestling, in Minnesota and at Penn State. So we've been kind of able to collaborate and bring some really interesting things to the table as far as training wise, academically, when I mean academically, the wrestling side of it. So it's a great addition to our staff. He's right at that weight that we need, that lighter to middle weight kind of guy. And the guys love him. The guys absolutely love him. He's a workhorse, and above all, he's just a great person.
So with Brady coming in, you you talk about some different academic things. One thing this year that I've heard through the grapevines and listening to the other podcasts that you guys do with wrestling is Saturday morning workouts. Was that something that you had planned before, or was that something that Brady brought in to step up?
No, we've always had our Saturday lift, right? And so we lift 3 days a week, and we kind of we lift around our wrestling, and and we always did a Saturday lift, and then when you get into season, that's adjustable because you're competing on the weekends. And so the one thing that we did a little bit different though this year was after our Saturday lift, we usually will do it's a strength and conditioning day. So we'll do some cardio or some conditioning right after the lift. And we didn't do that in the past. And it just worked better into our schedules. We're a wrestling team and we're not a track team. We try to train, to be wrestlers. And so, getting on the mat as much as we can during a preseason, we try to utilize that and really kind of put those days that we're in the weight room to maximize that time. And so Saturday, wasn't usually how it used to be. And, getting like this past Saturday, we had guys do stadiums and, right after a hard lift, stadiums suck. And so you're already a little worn down from hitting the weights and then having to get out there and perform on the stairs. It just adds another little bit of adversity to their training process. Right. I mean, doesn't have to be sports, but the world is not perfect and you are going to have to do things you don't want to do and perform when you don't feel like you can perform. So throwing little things, into the mix, like what we did this year on those Saturdays lift and then, hit your conditioning after, I think ultimately is going to benefit them in the long run.
Yeah. I see that we've had all sorts of different changes around the program. And I know we talked about a little bit before we went live here, Coach, maybe talk a little bit about the process for getting this awesome new wrestling facility up, where maybe people can donate if they want. And when you're in that, maybe talk a little bit about the change that's coming with Frost Arena and how you think that might affect the program in a positive way.
There are, I don't even want to say big, enormous things that are happening here at South Dakota State. And I wish it's going to happen, but for the state of South Dakota, for wrestling, for our region, it's huge. I wish we were able to broadcast it to the country, because there are not a lot of places in this country at the Division I level that supports their student athletes like South Dakota State does. You talk about the wrestling facility, you talk about the renovation of Frost. I mean, heck, man, we just got through a pandemic and we were able to raise dollars, privately funded money, for this wrestling facility. And you talk about the the management from an administration. It's no secret. Look across the country, and you see programs being dropped. You see astronomical budgets that people are just blowing through budgets. You see layoffs. You see salary reductions. I mean, you see
Stanford.
Yeah, you see the worst of the worst. And I can tell you this, because from firsthand experience, we didn't lay anybody off. From a university standpoint and in our athletics department, we didn't get, a salary reduction. We still had sports, so from a management standpoint, I thought they did a phenomenal job of really regulating everything and making sure our student athletes had the best experience they possibly could under the circumstances we were dealt. And so when you talk about, the wrestling facility and being able to privately fundraise the money that is needed to get this thing off the ground, hats off to our donors, hats off to, the people that care about South Dakota State and South Dakota State wrestling. So it was literally about a year ago. A year ago, we were sitting at around $2 million. When I got here, there was roughly $900,000 to $1 million in the bank. And you know, it was a long talks, and you know, with our administration of building a wrestling facility and where it was going to go, and you know, at the end of the day, I knew that for us to kind of move this thing along, you know, at a faster pace, you know, it was gonna, hey, wrestling's got to raise the money. And we did. You know, we were about 30 days away from the Board of Regents, and anybody that deals with, you know, the state system, you know, there's some protocols.
Oops, you got to jump
through. Oops, you got to jump through. So we were literally 30 days away from having to go to the Board of Regents and to get, you know, propose our wrestling facility. And we were sitting at just over $2 million, and we needed to be at 90%. To be able to get the approval from the board, or even present it to the Board of Regents. So we had 30 days, and I remember in a meeting, and we got done talking, and I think everybody, and you know, they thought it was going to be a long shot. And they were like, man, we got to get, it was like 3.9, I think it was, or 3.8 million. and everybody thought it was going to be a long shot. And obviously being an athlete, a competitor, that was a challenge. And I said, all right, here we go. And I left the meeting, and we hit the ground running. And by the end of the following week, we raised $1.4 million. And we were almost there. And
that's
so
amazing.
We took another couple weeks, and, you know, we hit our mark. And I think it was a shock to a lot of people, but the wrestling community stepped up. I mean, they have been unbelievable, unwavering through not only this process, but a transition, new staff, new team. You know, I mean, they've been great. So we got the money that we needed. We go to the Board of Regents, and I'm sitting in a meeting at the foundation with Keith Malum, the VP of the foundation, and we're having a great conversation. We're talking about some of the financing of the building and some of the intricate details. And I'm there with my administration, and it was during the Board of Regents meeting, and I'm sitting there. And Keith was talking, and my phone started buzzing, and I looked down, and it's President Dunn, and he texted me, and he said, "Hey, our facility got approved." And at that moment, I mean, like, I literally put my phone down. I don't even remember what I said, but I said, I remember I got really hot, and I almost started sweating. And I said, we just got good news. I said, but I got to step outside for a second. And I stepped out into the hallway. I went to the bathroom. I splashed some water on my face because it was a little emotional, because it was like we hit a landmark. And I remember coming back in and high-fiving everybody that it got approved. And next was off to legislation. And so through that time frame, we were designing, you know, going through the legislation process and getting it passed by legislation, and then, you know, the design phase and bidding it out. And so it's been I don't want to say a pain in the butt, but God darn, man, it's hard. It really is. And every time you think you're moving on the right track, you take one step forward, two steps back, you know, with, I mean, I'm sure most people know what's happening, you know, across the world with some commodities and how things are hard to get. And, you know, you go through a bidding process where literally the prices of steel and everything are through the roof. So we picked a great time to be doing this. So our costs have gone up immensely. And, you know, we're continuing to fundraise to get to where we need to finish the project, but we're close. We're really close, and everything's approved. We did our groundbreaking ceremony about a month ago, and the fencing will be going up here shortly, and we will be breaking ground here this month. This next month. And so it's amazing. It truly is, because I don't want to say I was sold, you know, when I came to South Dakota State on this facility, but it was a big part. It really was, because, you know, coming from Cornell, and Cornell built the first standalone facility, you know, for wrestling the country has ever seen. It showed people that you can invest into a non-revenue sport, an Olympic sport, and see great success. And let me tell you, man, our donors, our friends of the program, our alumni have come together, and it was like they weren't going to be stopped, and they came to the table more than I've ever seen. And we're going to be building the absolute best facility, wrestling facility, in the Big 12 conference. And we're an affiliate school. We're not even a legacy school like Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Iowa State, and West Virginia. You know, we're an affiliate, and we're going to have the best wrestling facility in the Big 12 conference. That's crazy. And you talk about the country, we're going to have one of the, I'd say, top three, top four best facilities in the entire country. And for South Dakota State to lay claim to that, goodness gracious, like you would never have thought. And so it's huge. It's going to change the game for our entire program for years and years to come. So the process has been exhausting, because I feel I've taken a personal interest in this, because hey man, we've gotten recruits. I mean, I have sold this building, and my name is on it. So if I don't produce, heck man, I look like a liar, and my name is more important to me than anything else. And hey, that's the only thing we got. And I don't want to be called a liar. So, I told people this is what I was going to do. This is what we were going to get accomplished. And you know what? Sure enough, we're on our way. So I'm super excited, super passionate about it. And it's going to be, I don't know if I said amazing, but it's going to be amazing. So yeah. And then, a week later, you get the announcement of Frost. And, the Frost renovation is going to be, it will turn Frost, or First Bank and Trust Arena, into a professional sports arena. I mean, there's going to be nothing like it in the state. I mean, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. There's going to be suites. There's going to be like entertainment for our fans and our students. It is literally going to change South Dakota State and its events for a very, very long time. And this is another project that heck, we can sell to our recruits and say, look at the venue that you are going to be competing in. And I get it, it's only a handful of times a year, but it's going to be premier. It's going to be a first class experience, here at South Dakota State. And do you really need all the bells and whistles, or the fancy this? No, you don't. I mean, you look at some of the best athletes in the world, and look at where they come from, and the training environments that they have to train and compete in. I mean, it's garbage for a lot of it. But when you are trying to sell a product to 18-year-old kids and their parents, they don't want to send their kid away to, a rusty box or a dirty floor. I mean, they want to make sure that their baby boy is being taken care of. And when they see the facilities here at South Dakota State, I mean, it's nothing shy of spectacular. And this Frost renovation is going to literally blow the roof off of Division I, facilities in the country. It really will be.
And I think it kind of shows a commitment to the program, wouldn't you say? Much like what's changed for you, congratulations on the new contract. I'm stoked to see that you're staying on for some more time. And I'm sure you want to see that new facility get built before any thoughts to move somewhere else. But it's your program, right? And that really means something, I think. And the kids know that, especially in wrestling, coaches don't move on quite like they do in football. And
yeah,
I think that's pretty cool. We've shown a real commitment at South Dakota State, and the donors, like you talk about, I'd say an example of that is the numbers that you guys had on one day for state. That was sheer amazing to me. When you look at those numbers and you actually break it down and what percentage of athletic donors went to wrestling.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, yes. South Dakota State Athletics, our administration from the athletic side across the board to the president's office, they're making a commitment. They're making a major commitment in the student body. right? Really. And, you know, student athletes are, you know, a direct beneficiary of this. But they understand the value of athletics and what that can do for your university, for your student population, for revenue from, you know, every aspect. And when you see the commitment that's being made here, how could you not feel great about, you know, being a student athlete or a wrestler in particular, of going to a place like South Dakota State and knowing that, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going to be taken care of. That was the one thing, you know, I've told a couple people, but it was in the spring. And, you know, last spring after they canceled the NCAA tournament. And, you know, you saw Old Dominion dropped a couple sports and wrestling was one of them. And they used COVID as their reason. And when that came out, I got a phone call from Justin. And Justin said, Damian, you know, I am sure some people are freaking out right now because they're hearing rumblings and, you know, ODU just dropped their program. He goes, I want you to schedule a Zoom meeting and I want your entire staff and your student athletes on this Zoom. I go, okay, boss, we'll do it. And literally that night got our 30 plus guys on Zoom. We got Justin on there, our staff, and he gets on and literally, I mean, he made a statement and said, I want you to know that wrestling here at South Dakota State is a priority. And it is not going anywhere. Do not worry. He said, you know, whatever you hear, that is wrong. He goes, we are investing into wrestling here at South Dakota State. And it eased some conversations of people because, hey, man, you know, South Dakota State, you know, we're a mid-major. I mean, that's just how it is. And the financial commitment and investment they're making into, you know, wrestling and the other programs, I mean, you don't see that at a lot of places. So it's great. It really is. And when you have, you know, the support of not only the administration, but across campus and the president, I mean, wow. I mean, like I said, there's not too many places like it.
And Justin's just awesome. Can't say enough good things about that guy.
You know, he was a big reason why, you know, I landed here in South Dakota. Because I've told this story before, but I've never stepped foot in this state until I came and looked at South Dakota State. I mean, I knew more about Fargo because Junior Nationals, you know, was there every year. And again, I wrestled in Minnesota and literally have never come over here. And so Justin was a big selling point in his vision of what he wanted to do. And so, yeah, he was a big reason why I'm here, to be honest with you. And, you know, you talked about the contract extension. You know, that's something that we've talked about that, you know, we've worked on to really try and let our student athletes and our recruits know and understand that, hey, man, this is why I came here, right? I didn't come here to use this as a stepping stone. I mean, I came to South Dakota State to build something great. You know, and I believe that South Dakota State can do that. But anything, you know, great, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And we are building the foundation. We are building the foundation for future success. And I don't want it to be a, hey, 1 year great, and then the next year, you know, bad. You know, we want consistency, and you gotta build that foundation for the building to stand on. So I think we're doing all the right things. We're bringing in good kids. We got the right people involved in our program. You know, we're building this facility. You know, we have our Jackrabbit Wrestling Club, our RTC, that's growing. You know, all things are pointing in the right trajectory. So you know, I'm excited about what we have going on here.
Speaking of the ROCT and Jackrabbit Wrestling Club and stuff, let's talk about some of the fundraisers here. But before we do that, I gotta ask one question. How many donors did we have for one day for State Through Wrestling? I know you were going for 1,000.
I forgot. Sorry. So it's grown every year.
Put him on the spot.
Yeah. So it's grown every year. The first year I got here, my goal has always been the donor, the engagement piece of it, because if we can bring them to the table and make them feel they have a vested interest into what we're trying to do, the dollars will eventually come, but that's not that that wasn't the number one goal. The number one goal is to bring them into our program. And that was my, what, third one day for state, I believe. And no, I'm sorry, my fourth one day for state. And the first year we were here, we had, I think athletics had 330 donors to athletics, and wrestling accounted for like 170 of those our first year. The next year, wrestling went from like 170 donors to, I think it was, I wanted a goal of three. No, so it's been 3 years. So I wanted a goal of 300. I wanted to try and almost double my donor base. And it went from like 170. And I was trying to get 300. It went to 600. And I was like, oh, wow, this is getting big. And then this past year, I said, you know, if we can get to like 800, I was like, that's going to be that'll be huge. I said, but, you know, my internal goal was 1,000. And we went, I think we had like 1,035, you know, donors to the program. And we made it a challenge. Right. We made it a challenge. We weren't just going to sit back and just let this happen, you know, by itself. No, I mean, literally, we have our guys and I've turned it almost into a phone-a-thon, and they're calling. They are calling all day long and talking to our parents, talking to their brothers, their sisters, their uncles and aunts, and, you know, ex high school coaches and our alumni. And so, I mean, nobody's off limits. I mean, and when I mean nobody, I gave President Dunn a call. You know, I called President Dunn and I said, hey, man, today's the day. I need you to give to our program. And so, you know, it's
that's great.
You know, when you're trying to build something, it's all hands on deck, and it doesn't just happen because of one person. I mean, it takes a village to be able to do the things that we're doing. And yeah, so we hit our mark over 1,000, and we're super excited about it. The donor number is going to get harder, because at some point, right, unless you bring just different people into your program, I mean, the number kind of tops out at some point.
Saturates.
Yeah. So the goal is, you know, from here on out, we got to, obviously I want to keep increasing our donor base, but I want to start increasing the dollars. And that comes over time. You know, and we start with our student athletes. You know, our student athletes are contributors to our program and what we're building. So each of my student athletes, they make a gift on one day for state. Each and every one of them, they make a gift. And I want them to understand, you know, be grateful and appreciate the opportunities that they've been given and the things that they have. You know, hey, is the grass always greener on the other side? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, could you probably get something more or better or less somewhere else? Maybe. I don't know. But I know what we're doing here. And I want our guys to be thankful for the support that they get from our donor base and our friends of the program, because these connections and relationships that they are building will only help them for the rest of their lives. And it's that kind of pay it forward mentality, right? We get them to start giving back to something that they believed in, the experience that they have. And, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years from now, they're going to get in a phone call. They're going to be the ones that they're going to get the call, and it might not be a dollar component. It might be, hey, you know, I'm a orthopedic surgeon now, and you know, I want to provide a shadowing internship for one of your student athletes, Damien. And that's awesome. You know, so it's not always just about the dollar. It's about the connections and networks that you build for our kids, because I want to put, yeah, it's awesome to have all Americans and national champions, right? That's great. But I want to put good people out into the world, because those good people are only going to help our program down the line and help this university. So it's so much bigger than just the wins and losses. You know, there's a bigger picture to this. And yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win along the way. We're going to have a lot of wins, but we got to prepare these kids for their future as well.
With that, let's touch on Track the Jack every Wednesday night at the 9, and then the golf outing. Give us a little recap of how that went this year.
The golf outing is always and a great event. Okay. You know, we sell it out every year. I mean, the people here, the South Dakota State people are crazy about their golf. They really are. They love it and they like to have a good time. So, we cap it off at 40 foursomes, four more than what the golf course wants, but, we sneak a couple more on the course and it's an event. It's a party. I mean, these people come back and expect to have a good time. And if they get to hit a couple nice shots on the course, hey man, awesome. That's kind of a bonus, but it's a reunion. It's a reunion for our fans and our alumni and our supporters to come back, get around our guys, because every one of our student athletes is out on the course, working a hole or just interacting with our supporters. And, you know, our coaches are out there mingling and talking and playing golf. And so it's literally like a reunion for a lot of people. And they plan for this weekend, you know, every single year. So the golf outing was absolutely amazing. And that's run through our JWC, our Jackrabbit Wrestling Club, and all the proceeds that we bring in there go to support our RTC and our guys, freestyle and Greco Olympic dreams. That's all that money goes to. And we're able to fund a lot of trips for our kids. I mean, we sent Cade DeBoss down to Mexico and, you know, wins a Pan Am gold. I mean, that's funded through our JWC. You know, Tanner Sloan went down to Guatemala Pan Ams, and that's funded through the JWC. He won a gold medal. And so, you know, we send guys all tournaments all over the country. And so the goal for the JWC is to really keep growing and start to bring in resident athletes and coaches and really make Brookings, South Dakota a premier wrestling spot in the country that people want to come and train. And so the other fundraising effort we put together, and, you know, hats off to Marty for kind of taking the, you know, the lead on it, this Track the Jack. You know, it's a spinoff of Chase the Ace that a lot of places have done here in South Dakota, and some places have had great success with it. And we kind of rebranded it, and, you know, because the Jackrabbits, we're going to chase the Jack. And we've been doing it now. I think we just had our 10th week and it's been growing, you know, each week, you know, a portion of the sales, there's one person that gets drawn and he wins a portion of the weekly sales. And then he has an opportunity to draw a card out of, you know, 52, you know, a deck of cards. And, you know, if he pulls the Jack, I think it's a Jack of clubs, they win a portion of the jackpot. And then the organization takes, you know, the other portion of the jackpot. So I think right now we're over $7,000. We're 10 weeks in. And each week when someone pulls a card, that card gets thrown out. So now I think we're down to 42 cards. So every week it gets a little bit, you know, your percentages of potentially winning get a little bit better. And we're going to keep growing it, you know, keep growing this pot. And the thing with that was, obviously a fundraiser, you know, to bring in some money so we can do some different things through our RTC. But I think it all started with engagement. It all started with, you know, let's create another event that we can bring our people together. Right. I mean, for over a year, we've kind of been isolated and told to avoid one another and don't go to crowded places. And I think this is an opportunity for the ones that are comfortable to be able to get together and enjoy our time and, you know, have a little fun and potentially win some money. So it's a great event. We do it every Wednesday night, you know, at Cubby's Nine Bar. And it's a good fun time for our fans and our supporters to get there and interact. We always bring some wrestlers. Our coaches are always there, and literally we talk and enjoy our time. So it's I've never been a part of something like this, but I've enjoyed it, and it's growing. It's getting bigger, and I think once we hit that $10,000 mark, I think it'll start really taking off. Because then you know, someone gets to win some real money, you know, and it's fun. It's fun.
Marty's got my $20 every week. I don't know. That's a good deal. Yeah, definitely. maybe talk a little bit about some of our new guys that are eligible right away, the transfers that I'm specifically speaking about, AJ and Tate. Tell us a little bit about them, if you would.
Yeah, so we picked up a couple transfers this kind of off season, and you know, the two guys you know we're talking about, you know, Tate Bettany, you know, coming from Iowa State, you know, he was 184, and for whatever reason, you know, it just it wasn't the right fit. Right. It wasn't the right fit. And he was looking for something different. He was looking for something to kind of continue to grow as a student athlete. And, you know, he reached out. It was kind of a mutual thing. And, you know, we got to talking to him and he was super interested in South Dakota State. And, you know, he saw what we had and what we were bringing to the table from a training aspect and a coaching aspect. And he liked it. He really did. So, you know, he's one of our newcomers here and an absolute workhorse. You know, he's been a pleasure to be around and have, you know, in the room and in the program, and he's continuing to get better. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I have stressed to a lot of people. I love the development side of wrestling. You know, I love being able to work with individuals and create something bigger and better than it was. I think that's fun, right? And so Tate kind of saw our approach to the sport and how we kind of train and how we compete, and he liked it and it was right up his alley. So yeah, so now having Tate here has been great. And then the other one, the big man, is AJ Nevels. And you know, it's fortunate for us, a little less fortunate, because you never want to see a program get cut. But, you know, AJ was faced with a tough decision. You know, I mean, he's a California kid, and then Fresno is dropping their program, and he needed to make a decision of what he wanted to do. And so when we, you know, kind of heard the news and he went into the transfer portal, you know, we have a wrestler on our team, Nick Casperson, who was at Fresno State a couple of years ago and became great friends with Nick, or I'm sorry, AJ, and Nick's his brother. and so he became really good friends with AJ, and, you know, AJ reached out to him, and we started to communicate. And again, another situation where AJ saw what we could provide him, you know, and what we had far as training wise and our system, and it was a good fit. You know, he graduated from Fresno State. Now he's in grad school and he's got 2 years of eligibility. He'll end up getting his master's, you know, in a couple of years, and he'll compete. You know, he'll compete for us. And you know, with the graduation or departure of Blake Walters, you know, you know, it seemed like an easy transition. And, you know, we have guys in the room that can push them. And, you know, we have a staff that is invested, you know, into his development part. And so those two guys have been absolute great additions to our program. And we're expecting, I don't even want to say we, I mean, they are expecting great things. So it makes our job a little bit easier when you have a driven student athlete that wants that success and is willing to go after it. So they've been great, absolutely great.
Let's talk a little bit about the freshmen that came in here. There's a long list of them this year, another huge recruiting class.
Is there 12?
Oh yeah. I think about a dozen. And then you throw in AJ and Tate. I think we're up to darn near a Baker's dozen. What is that, 13, 14 or something like that? But no, this class, big class. And I'll be honest with you, bigger than I normally like, because when you bring in that big of a class, you know, my goal is to have 100% graduation, right? You know, in 4 or 5 years, I mean, you lose that entire class. And so it's hard to keep replacing that many kids. So, I mean, I would love to keep it, you know, 8 8 kids a year, and really, you know, keep those kids through the program and graduate them. But, you know, a big class nonetheless. And we, this class, we got kids from Minnesota, Iowa, Ohio, I mean, Chicago, I mean, you know, I mean, all across the board, Pennsylvania. This class, by one publication, was a top 10 recruiting class, you know, in the entire country. And I don't know if South Dakota State has ever gotten a top 10 recruiting class. But I can tell you this, I mean, some of the kids in this class, I mean, they are hammers. I mean, they truly are. And we're expecting, and they are expecting big things. You know, it's probably headlined by, you know, Alec Martin out of Ohio, Super 32 champ. I think he was as high as, you know, 20th pound kid in the country. And he's projected to be a 149 pounder. But I mean, we have a slew, a cast of characters that really are going to change this program forever. And we're excited for it. You know, we've covered a handful of weights from, you know, 125 in this class, 125 all the way up to roughly, you know, 174-ish. We picked up a couple kids, you know, 84, 97. I mean, we've literally have covered the spectrum in this class. And so this next recruiting class is going to be small. You know, we're targeting a couple weight classes. We got a couple commits already. So it's good. You know, we have a couple more on the line that, you know, we're hoping to land. But this class that we brought in this year is, I mean, I think it's lights out. I really do. And you talk about them coming in and their transition. The hardest thing for any student athlete is that transition from high school to college. And sometimes it's smooth. Most times it's not. Okay. And there's a lot of bumpy road, you know, ahead of them. And they do take their lumps. You know, they do get knocked down. And you know, for us, it's our job to, you know, keep picking them back up, get back on that horse, right? And the ones that will, you know, stay the course and stay positive, mostly, those are the ones that are going to benefit greatly, because they understand what this portion of their career is like. Now, I mean, you might have a guy come in right out of the gates and be, you know, be a showstopper, but a lot of the time when you bring these high school kids coming into a college program, that you have guys that have been in there a handful of years, it's usually not the case. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, I got my tail whooped when I was a freshman, a true freshman going to Minnesota. I got my butt kicked every day. I questioned a lot of times if I was even cut out, you know, for the program, and I was the top recruit in the country. So I can tell you from firsthand experience. So these kids, the nice thing about this class is they came in and they didn't take a back seat. They stepped right in and they were like, all right, let's go. Let's test the waters now. And they have pushed our veterans that have been in the program, you know, a handful of years. They like the challenge. They are willing to, you know, step on that line and lay it out there. So that's exciting. And when you have a group like that, a class like that, you can only just, you know, forecast the future and be like, wow, you know, there are some amazing things to come when you start to integrate these kids into what we already have. I mean, what are you not going to be able to do? And so we're super excited. I mean, we brought in, like I said, a great class, good kids, and they're working their tails off right now because, you know, they understand the direction of this program. They understand where we want to go. And they're on board. They are on board, you know, 150%. And they're looking for big things. And like I said, man, I can't be any more excited than I am right now to, you know, be here at this program and having the staff that we have, the kids that we have involved. I mean, it's a first class institution, and we're gonna do some amazing things.
Coach, I hope you don't mind. We got a user listener question. Bradley Koenig says, how can the declining number of wrestling squads be reversed? Will more schools have to start women's wrestling like Iowa to balance out Title IX? And just to follow up what Brad said there, I'm glad to see women's wrestling around around the country, and I think it's great for the sport. And I'll just let you talk about that a bit.
Yeah, no. First off, hats off to Iowa. regardless of why they did it, you know, they got the first Power Five women's wrestling program. It's great. You know, you talk about the declining of, you know, the Division I programs, right? I think we're around 77 right now. You know, we lost Fresno, ODU, but we picked up Cal Baptist. They're moving up, you know, to Division I. So it's kind of been, you know, hovering around that upper 70s. but where wrestling has grown, it's grown at the NAIA level. It's grown at the Division III, Division II level. I mean, it's continuing to grow. It's just at the Division I level, it's kind of been a little bit harder, right? Because some of the things they have, we have a little bit different rules. You know, institutions are made up differently, but, you know, you talk about Title IX. And, you know, for us to continue to grow as a sport at the men's level, you know, they've been talking about this for years, you know, having a counterpart. Right. And, you know, you look at most sports outside of football, most sports have a counterpart, and wrestling could do that with women's wrestling. And I think it's great. I really do. I love to provide the opportunity to these women to be able to do something that, you know, is not the norm, really. You know, I mean, we are. I feel like the United States of America is the land of the free, home of the brave, and we have done some amazing things. And this is just another feather in our cap to be able to take women and put them out into a sport that is generally not a woman's sport and really dominate the world. I mean, you look at what we've done at the Olympics and the World Championships. Yeah. I mean, like it's great. And to start doing that at the collegiate level. Yeah. I mean, I expect other programs to do the same. You know, what it's going to come down to right now is dollars and cents, right? Can some of these universities, you know, handle the budgets, right? Can they manage their budgets in a way to provide a female sport like wrestling? And for me, it's a no-brainer, right? If I and granted, I'm not at that level. I mean, there's a lot that, you know, goes over my head, but wrestling is not a big budget sport. I mean, you can really implement a wrestling program, whether it be men's or women's, and have success at a reasonably good cost, right? because it doesn't take a whole lot to operate. I mean, we're not dealing with, you know, pads or fields or, you know, all these kind of things that cost
stadiums.
Yeah, stadiums that cost an extensive amount of money. I mean, you buy a couple mats, you have a room, you know, you throw them down, you buy some shorts and some wrestling shoes and some singlets and off you go, right? I think it is very likely that we see this grow and continue to get more women's programs at the Division I level. But Iowa doing it, I mean, really kind of set a standard. And, you know, it's funny, after that happened, I started getting some emails and about, hey, do you think, you know, wrestling would ever start at South Dakota or women's wrestling at South Dakota State? And I'm not opposed to it, right? I'm not opposed to it, but we got to be able to provide them a great experience. And if we can do that, I am all for it. I mean, again, and this is a little selfish, but it will only help the men's as well. You know, two great, it's one sport, but, you know, female and men, I mean, they can both build off of one another. They both can benefit from this, of providing these women with an opportunity like wrestling, and in turn it helps men's sports maybe be added, wrestling be added or saved at some of these programs. So yeah, I applaud Iowa, and you know, I'm sure you know, you look at the high school level, and I don't know how many states right now, but there's a handful of states, I'm going to say in the 40s, of states that have women's high school wrestling now. And, you know, it's continuing to grow and build. You know, it might be one of the fastest growing sports in the country. And it's awesome. It's great. It's great for us because, you know, I mean, I got two little boys and, you know, I hope one day that, they will have the opportunity to wrestle in college and, in creating these women opportunities, you know, for wrestling, it's only going to help my kids as well. So I think, you know, one hand washes the other. We're in this together.
Classic raising tide raises all ships kind of argument.
100%, man. 100%.
With preseason ending on next Friday, can you give us a little team goals and a little team preview here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think our our goals have not changed, right? I mean, since the day we stepped foot on campus, this staff and these kids, I mean, we want All-Americans and national champions. I mean, that's just the bottom line. you know, we bring kids here. We bring kids here, and there's an expectation. Right. one of the things I said to these guys, it might have been my first day, my first week. You know, I said, listen, this program is going to have great success, but it's not going to be based off individuals. It's going to be based off the whole body of work by the team. And we have held true to that. I mean, you know, it's this is a family. We have a family. We do this for one another. And because when you do it that way, there are times throughout, you know, these kids' careers that, man, they feel down and out. They can't do it. You know, they're not in the right, you know, mindset. But you look next to you and you see your brother going through it with you. And you're like, damn it, if I can't do it for myself, I'm going to do it for that man standing right next to me. So our goals have never changed. I mean, All-Americans and national champions, you know, we will be, you know, a top 10 program. That is my goal, you know, year in and year out. I want to be a top 10 program. I want to contend for trophies at the national tournament. You know, when you set a standard like that, I mean, you're expecting maximum effort. You're expecting excellence out of our kids, and they have accepted it. That's what they want. And the kids that we're bringing in here, anything less would be a disappointment for them. And I love it. I love that they hold themselves to that high of a standard. So for us, you know, All-Americans and national champions every year and you know, top 10 program and vying for trophies at the national tournament. That is the goal. And, you know, when we are able to be a perennial powerhouse, a top 10 program, I mean, I don't ever want that to change. I don't ever want to take a dip. I don't ever want to, you know, see us slide, you know, out of those, you know, out of that standing. I mean, you know, this is something we're trying to build for the future. And, you know, consistency matters, you know, in all aspects. So, yeah, the goal hasn't changed, man. All-Americans and national champions.
Well, I look through the roster and I see, I don't think it's that unrealistic to see five guys that are definitely on the table to be All-Americans this year. Easy.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think that's an unrealistic expectation to get.
No. And these guys, and that's what's so great. These guys expect it, right? You know, one of the things I told Clay, you know, one of the awesome things about Clay is, you know,
his piano skills.
Yeah, right. He was my legitimate first recruit. He was going to go to Nebraska, and I talked to his brother Colton, and Colton was like, "Hey, listen, you got to talk to my brother." And so, you know, we talked, and long story short, he was my first recruit and my first All-American. so it's kind of unique and fun. But you know, I told Clay, I said, "Clay, you know what? The nice thing about you, you know, becoming an All-American," I said, "there are some people that one of two things happen. They sit there and they say, I made it. And whatever happens next, it's okay. I made it." And I said, "Clay, I just don't think that's you." I said, "Yeah, you're an All-American. You took eighth place. I don't think you're satisfied with that. I actually think it pisses you off." And he's like, "You're right. It does. I'm pissed that I took eighth place." And I said, "What that's going to do for you is it's going to light a fire. It's going to provide fuel. And you're going to want to show that you are better than eighth place at the national tournament. And it's not a matter of, okay, I can beat this guy. It's going to be how bad can I beat this guy now? Because I am an All-American and I have a standard that needs to be set, right? So, you know, I'm excited, you know, for these guys. And, you know, when we had three round of 12s and one of them gets through, you know, these guys were right there on the cusp of, you know, getting something that they've worked, I don't want to say their entire lives, but they have worked extremely hard for, and having gotten that close and not getting it, man, that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And so for these guys, I mean, they have literally, you know, stepped up and they want this more than anything that they wanted before. And it only pushes the other guys that we have in this room. And like I said before, it's all hands on deck, right? I mean, we're going to do this. We're going to do this as a team. And when the team wins, I mean, or when these guys win, the team wins. And every single person in our program has value. You know, we have kids that are going to graduate this year that probably, well, I know that have never put the singlet on. But you know what? Clay Carlson wouldn't be an All-American if they weren't in that room pushing them every day. So yeah, man, this is a family, and we come to the table, to provide everything we can for our kids.
And success breeds success, even though it's cliche, it's true. Well, Coach, I want to be respectful of your time. I don't have a whole lot more that I
love.
I know we can talk all night, right?
Oh, we can go
and we could go all night. We could run through the schedule quick. I know we have, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 home duels, 6. We got the triangular with Augie and Northern, the DAC Open, yep. West Virginia, January 28th, Northern Colorado, Little Rock, and then February 20th, man, we need to see that place just packed.
Heck yeah.
For the Border Bell battle.
You're darn right. Yeah, so we got a handful of home games.
Packed. Frost is rowdy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. We got a handful of home dates. you know, obviously the I don't want to say featured, but the match that everybody is anticipating is North Dakota State. It's been a great rivalry in all sports. I think that is very unique. There's not a lot of places that, you know, have that. they've kind of bested us the last couple of years. And you know, we're literally you know, just preparing, you know, putting together a squad that is you know, first class. And you know, I hate to, and I said this early on, I hate to kind of get fixated, right? Fixated on one duel, because listen, we lost to North Dakota State this past year, and we took what, 25th in the country, and they were what, 35th. We had, you know, 3 in the round of 12, an All-American. They didn't have an All-American. I mean, like, so I think people, and maybe not, but, you know, I think people would take a national championship as a team if we lost to NDSU, you know, in a duel. You know, the ultimate goal is March, right? March and that national tournament. So that's what we prepare for. But, you know, we don't lose sight along the way. You know, we do prepare, and, you know, we're going to have another squad ready to go out there and compete against NDSU at our last home duel. So if you haven't yet, I'm not sure if season tickets have become, you know, they're become available. But regardless of season tickets, you better get your ticket for the NDSU duel this year in Frost. It's going to be exciting. You know, you're going to see some fireworks for sure. It's going to be a good time.
I was up in Fargo last year, and let's just say there was a few things that left a sour taste in my mouth.
Oh yeah.
On how things went down.
Oh yeah.
We don't have to say a whole lot more than that, but
nope. But no, it's gonna be an exciting year. You know, you look at the schedule, and you know, we have
7 of the top 25, I think.
Yeah, something like that, right? I mean, we got some hammers. We got some hammers wrestling this year, and again, it's all preparation. It's all preparation for March, right? And We need our guys to get tested. We need our guys to get into, you know, we're wrestling in Vegas at the Cliff Keen. We're wrestling, you know, down the Southern Scuffle, two premier tournaments. I think we might be one of the few teams that compete in both. Because I think it's good. It's good for our guys to, stay close to the fire, if you will. You know, I think it's great for our guys to, you know, wrestle, you know, a Nebraska, a Minnesota, an Oklahoma State. I mean, yeah, let's go. And we'll lay it on the line and we'll compete. And, we'll go out there and scrap hard and, prepare these kids for March, because that's what it's all about. And it's going to be exciting, you know. Those, and on the flip side, the following year, it's most likely that we will have all those teams, you know, at home. So Nebraska, Minnesota, Okie State, you know, I mean, that's the goal, you know, to put together a home schedule where every dual meet, I mean, these people are excited and they want to come out and support. I mean, heck, they already do come out and support. But when you're bringing in, some Power Five teams, it just adds a little more, excitement, to the whole event. And so, hey man, big things are coming. Facilities coming, Frost is coming. These kids are building and they're ready to take the mat. I mean, they've been eager since last March and some of them competed over the summer, but guys are ready to go, and it's going to be fun.
With one last question here. I know that the lineup is going to look a little different this year. A lot of guys aren't going to cut as hard as last year or whatever. Can you just kind of walk through that a little bit? And also, did you give them some of your weight? Because I seen you at the Jax thing, and wow, you're looking good. It looks like you're about ready to go compete for an Olympic medal again.
You know, some Jordan, I appreciate that. You know, at least somebody notices, right?
He's been watching the Olympics and he wants to join.
Yeah, right. No, that time has passed, right? we're kind of switching some things up a little bit. We had a couple guys that were cutting a lot of weight, and they kind of grew throughout the year. And I try to use myself and my experiences a lot through this process. And I wrestled my first 2 years, at Minnesota. I wrestled 184, and it got to the point where, I mean, all I did was cut weight. And my junior year, I actually started out at 184, and I literally, in my first match back, I had ACL surgery. My first match back was Oklahoma State, and I was ranked, I think, number one in the country. And I wrestled Jake Russell, a freshman, and I wrestled great for about 30 seconds, and I had nothing left in the gas tank because all I did was cut weight, and I ended up losing. And I remember going to my coaches, and I said, guys, listen, I got to think about moving up a weight class. And there was some mixed reviews on it. Jay, who I love to death, Jay was not for it right off the start. But Marty Morgan, our head assistant, he was, and, I trusted and confided in him. And when he gave me the kind of the green light, I was ready. I was on board. he went in and said, Jay, listen, I've wrestled the kid when he's 185 pounds and when he's 195 pounds, and it's night and day. Some kids, they're weight cutters. I mean, and that's what they do, and they can perform. Other kids, they don't. And, last year we kind of let some of those guys pick the weights. And they performed, but it wasn't to their capabilities, I thought. And when we sat down with some of them, we talked about going up a weight class or two weight classes. They were a little nervous about it. But like I told them, I said, guys, listen, you're at a point in your career that we need to spend as much time at continuing to get better, right? Continuing to get better. I don't want your time solely caught up with, God, how much weight can I lose today? Because you're not getting better, right? And when we sat down and we went through this, there were a couple of them that You know, it fit for her. Now there's going to be a little bit of adjustment, you know, wrestling some bigger guys, but I think we got the kids that can do it. I really do. And they're going to be a heck of a lot happier. They're going to be a heck of a lot stronger and healthier. And, you know, I can tell you this, you know, there were parts throughout the last couple of years when you've had guys cutting weight and you kind of have this mood in practice and it's just like, it's dull because guys' energies are not there. And I'll tell you right now, that's not the case this year. And maybe it's because we've changed a couple of things. Maybe it's because, you know, we bring Brady Berge in, you know, maybe it's because of this freshman class that we have, but I can tell you the mood in our room right now is nothing but excitement. And I do think the weight has a lot to do with that. I mean, our guys, I mean, they're getting proper nutrition. They're getting good meals. I mean, like they're healthy right now and they're going into practice wanting and eager to learn and get better. I mean, if we can keep that every single day, heck man, I'll take it. I'll take it all the time. And I think we're going to put a better product out on the mat. You know, there's going to be some changes, but I think it's for the better. And so do these guys. They feel the exact same way. So I'm looking forward to it. I am.
Well, Coach, thanks for everything you do. Thanks for being so generous with your time. And hopefully maybe we can catch up with one of the other coaches. We love talking to you. We love having you.
Absolutely, so, man.
Maybe we can get jacked on three. How's that sound?
Heck yeah.
One, two, three. Get jacked. All right.
Jordan, you missed it, buddy. You missed it. So
you can still chime in.
I was muted. Get jacked.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
I appreciate it.
This podcast has been brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, Drake's Place in Bowdell, and to Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans. Subscribe to this podcast and all of the Jackrabbit Illustrated podcasts, and like and follow Jackrabbit Illustrated on Facebook and Twitter. And go big, go blue, go Jacks!